This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you for listening. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including this weekend, sold out Todd Wright Tour 36, our first ever 36-hole event, 18 miniature, 18 traditional, at the wonderful Plantation Palms Golf Club. More on Plantation Palms Golf Club in a moment. When you are in need of legal assistance, whether it's for family law, divorce, or insert your own legal need here, if you live in the greater Tampa Bay area, call Brandon Legal Group for a free consult, 844-4BLG4ME, 844-4BLG4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Speaking of Plantation Palms Golf Club, I am sold out for Todd Wright Tour 36. I've been waiting years for Plantation Palms to host a Todd Wright Tour golf tournament. I've had this idea for 18 mini, 18 traditional, for a 36-hole tournament in one day on one property for years. But Plantation Palms never had the right management and never had the golf course in the right shape for me to host a tournament there. That all changed when Jesse Pratt moved after hosting Todd Wright Tour XXX at Crescent Oaks to Plantation Palms. I cut a deal with him the first day he was at Plantation Palms to host on a strategically picked first Saturday of October for weather purposes. And it looks like it's going to work out in a fantastic way for me and all of my players. So I'm a big believer in people, and that applies to golf properties as well. And I've worked with Jesse Pratt previously at two other golf properties on Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. And he provides everything I need. And honestly, there are things I don't have to ask him for because I know they're already done. I encourage you to check out Plantation Palms Golf Club, whether you are playing a traditional 18 holes on their par 72 course. Best shape it has been in since the course was resurrected. This property was shut down for quite some time after it first opened back in the 90s, I believe. It was the site of the first ever grudge match between my buddies Chris Thomas and Steve Dumick. Mike Allstott played in that event as well. They have 18 holes of mini golf, very well landscaped, not easy, not too hard, well-maintained mini golf. They have a wonderful indoor sports pub and dining area called Mulligan's that you will like. I met a client there last night to do a walkthrough before Saturday, and she enjoyed hanging out in Mulligan's. I believe having an appetizer and a couple of drinks because I was stuck in traffic on 275 trying to get up to that area. But Jesse Pratt will treat you well at Plantation Palms Golf Club. So, and they have a lighted driving range and lighted mini golf. We're actually starting our tournament under the lights before sunrise on Saturday morning. There's a lot of good things happening in Plantation Palms Golf Club, so please check them out. I'm sorry I don't have room for you in my tournament this Saturday. I have been turning people away. Unlike Charity Scrambles, who don't care about the actual golfer and the actual golf tournament, yeah, I turn people away because once I hit a certain number, that's enough. I care about pace of play, how much everybody pays, catering, all those things. You just can't keep saying, yep, 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 yep. Sometimes you got to say no. Take care of the people who got in first. All right, so thanks to Brandon Legal Group and Plantation Palms Golf Club. How are you? The Toddcast email is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. If you want golf information, it's toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. If you have fantasy questions, I encourage you to listen to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast and the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin Edition. And within those podcasts, there is an email for fantasy football players. There is no fantasy content in this particular podcast. There is exclusively fantasy content available in the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast and the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin, also sponsored by Brandon Legal Group, which previews solely from a fantasy perspective each week the Bucks game, the Bucks and their opponent. All right, so I hope I don't lose 90% of you when I say this, because think about how I deliver things. Think about my perspective on things, and hang with me. I want to talk about the Rays and Tropicana Field. I believe this is the first time on any of my podcasts I have done this. And I'm only doing it because, short of me begging you to listen to this, when I hear conversation about the future of the Rays and the future of Tropicana Field and the future of baseball in the Tampa Bay area, I tune out. Now, I'm asking you not to tune out because I'm one of you. If you tune out, if you've had enough, I'm there with you. So let me see if that buys me a little time. I think all of you know one of my favorite local radio hosts is Drew Garabo. He's playing in Todd Wright Tour 36. And even Drew stumbles on this topic every now and then. I don't know if he means to do it. It just, it's kind of there, right? It's the elephant, the gorilla. It's the tilted, damn, non-retractable dome in the room. And it's not going away. At least for another, what, 5-6 years. And even I tune out of Drew. But I thought about it a little bit more because recently I thought someone made a good point after the Rays, who've been extremely successful on the field this year. They've won the American League East again. They've clinched the top seed in the American League playoffs. They look like they're going to win 100 games. I'm broadcasting this on Thursday night before their game is done, so I don't know if they'll get there or not. They'll either win 99, 100, 101, or 102. I think that's the max. Someone made the point, early September, Red Sox came to Tropicana Field, and it was empty. And that's different because the Red Sox were the opponent. What the Rays did, as most teams do, is dynamic pricing. Dynamic pricing is something that teams do to gauge the market. They don't want to sell you a seat for $50 that they think someone else will pay $100 for. Now, sure, when you buy season tickets, you kind of lock everything in. But on a game-by-game basis, there are dynamic pricing in many sports now. I mean, I priced the Lightning opening night for the upcoming season, and then the drop-off for the same seat the next handful of games was astounding. I have since gone back, looked at opening night tickets. They've since dropped. So the Lightning have been like, oh, maybe we overshot. We still have tickets available. We want to sell those, so we'll drop it a little bit. So that's what teams do, dynamic pricing. So what the Rays did for a early week night series, because it was a marquee opponent, they raised the ticket prices. And in doing so, it backfired. They didn't get what they expected. And there was an exploration done by people who spent a lot more time talking and covering baseball than me. I essentially gave up on this sport for the most part about 10 years ago. I just didn't care to watch it as much anymore. And the point was made that the Rays for that series, for that Monday night, that Tuesday night, had the highest priced, cheapest ticket to get in the building in Major League Baseball for any team that week on those nights and the next week on those nights to bring other teams into the equation. Basically saying to the Rays, what are you doing here? Why are you pricing out people who just want to buy a cheap ticket and come into the building and check things out? The fact that the Rays, with their horrific attendance issues, were the most expensive, cheap ticket in Major League Baseball in early September was inexcusable. Apparently, the Rays agreed. Because the next thing I know, they announce $10 outfield seats for the final, I think it was 10 games of the regular season. So instead of $30, which was the cheapest ticket for those Red Sox games, they went down to 10. Now granted, it wasn't the Red Sox, but the Rays are still playing well. They had the Tigers, the Jays, I think, and the Marlins. I did something I hadn't done in over 5 years. I went online, I bought two tickets. Just bought them. Asked someone in my life, hey, it's a Saturday game, it's 4 o'clock, we'll go over there, we'll stay as long as we're interested, and then maybe we'll hit El Cap, the traditional hamburger place on 4th Street in St. Pete, before we come back to Tampa and enjoy the rest of our evening. And she said, let's do it. So we did. $10 tickets got me in the building. It got a lot of people in the building. I looked it up. We were at the highest attended Rays game since pre-pandemic. And I didn't go back further than that. And I'm not counting playoffs. I just looked at, and sure, there were no fans in 2020, limited fans to start 2021. But it was 22,000 plus announced and felt every bit of it. I made it to the top of the seventh inning because the Rays and the Tigers kind of kept things moving. There were no pitching changes within innings. There unfortunately was a Tiger player who got hurt running down to first base where he was actually ruled out on the play. I guess he was runner interference and they had to John Deere him off. But the game moved along, which I wish more baseball games would do, and there would be more of a concerted effort to do that with rule changes or other directives. Some things haven't worked. And then I said, okay, that's enough. And then we headed to El Cap, enjoyed the hell out of ourselves, as we always do, at the legendary El Cap on 4th Street in St. Pete, and then back to Tampa for the rest of the night. I live in Tampa, and so does she. So I'm sitting there, and I'm sort of taking it all in. Also, I found it interesting that the Tiger lineup to me, and again, I have watched very little baseball the last 10 years. I do go to spring training games because they're an exhibition. They don't count. The weather's good. It's kind of fun. You don't really care who wins and loses. You're just there to... it's an activity. And I'm talking Major League Baseball here. And then I do watch the playoffs in October because, yeah, one game wild card, 5-game LDS, 7-game LCS and World Series. Okay, you have my attention. There's something at stake here. As I'm sitting there, well, not just as I'm sitting there, as I was waiting in traffic to park, as I was sitting in the stadium, as I walked around parts of the stadium, didn't walk around the whole place. I don't have to. I've been around the whole place before. They can't change everything every year. And then as I left, I sort of thought about it. I thought about the segments that Drew does on his show. I've told all of you there are various sports radio stations in the Tampa Bay area. I listen to none of them. None of them have any appeal to me. I'm sorry if that offends some of my friends or colleagues or others who like me, but I've never felt any need to listen to anything currently going on in sports radio in Tampa Bay. The exception would be if WDAE gave Tom Krasnicki his own show, I'd listen every day. That's the exception. I think Tom is very talented, and I enjoy listening to him on the radio. So I know these conversations happen on other stations, and it's a crutch. I've worked in sports radio. You know, I wonder, I know Drew doesn't do this. If you're having a slow day, if you're not prepared, if you're in a bad mood, if you don't want to be there, if the callers aren't calling, if guests are bailing you, all you got to bring up is Rays, Stadium, Tropicana Field, St. Pete, Montreal. Boom, you got a show. It's a crutch. It's an easy out. That's why I don't like it on the air, whether it's consciously done by host or subconsciously done by host. I've heard all sides of this damn thing. And you know what? It's one of those where if people want to argue for something, they're going to argue for it. They've got all their reasons lined up. And for those that argue against it, they have their reasons, and it applies here. I've heard people say there's nothing wrong with Tropicana Field, and they're convinced they're right. And I've heard people talk about what's wrong with Tropicana Field, and they're convinced they're right. You can go at this any way you want. The problem is, it doesn't solve anything. Doesn't. I'm just on the side that knows a change needs to be made. And if the change cannot be made in the Tampa Bay area where I call home, the team should leave. Not split games with some other city. Just go. Just go. Everybody's life will go on. Now, what I'd really like to see, which won't happen, is whoever the new mayor of St. Pete will be. I don't follow that closely either, because I don't live in St. Petersburg. Say to the owners of the Rays, or talk to Major League Baseball and say, look, we're going to put an end to this right now. I'm tired of this, and I know you guys are too. So, if you want out of the lease now and just want to go, then you're going to pay us 1/31st of your national TV contracts in perpetuity to the city of St. Petersburg. And we're going to take 49% of the local TV contract revenue, wherever this team goes, for anywhere from the next 10 to 30 years. And yes, you can break the lease. You give me that, you can go. And there's a precedent for this. Back in the old ABA days, when some ABA franchises merged with the NBA, the Spirits of St. Louis, with a young Bob Costas as their play-by-play announcer, weren't invited to join the NBA. And the NBA couldn't buy them out. They were buying out these other franchises that they didn't want and saying, here's your payoff. Nice doing business with you. And the owners of the Spirits of St. Louis loved basketball so much, they just kept saying, no, this is unacceptable. We're either in or offer us something else. And what they ended up getting was a paycheck every year from the national TV contracts of the NBA as if St. Louis had an NBA team. The same slice that the Knicks got, that the Sixers got, that the Lakers got, the Celtics got, they got the same cut. And down the road for years, various lawyers and legal teams with the NBA tried to get out of this deal. And those owners just kept saying, no, deal's a deal. Now, I guess recently it finally came to an end because there were a lot of old people involved with the Spirits of St. Louis. I'm sure some have passed on. I don't think all of them have. So eventually, the NBA finally figured out a way to end the deal after so many years. But I'd love to see the city of St. Petersburg work that out, where you either say, you're in or you're out. You're either in, you're staying, 81 home games, here's what we're doing. New stadium is necessary. Or you want out? I'll let you out right now. I'll let you out for 2022. But we want 1/31st of every national TV contract starting in 2022 and 49% of the former Rays local TV money wherever they go for a minimum of 10 years, payable to the city of St. Petersburg. That would generate more revenue for the city of St. Petersburg than the Rays do. That would be a hell of a deal. I don't think they can get it, but it's my podcast, and I'm sure you won't hear about that anywhere else that has this discussion. I acknowledge both sides of the argument. I'm just giving you something new. Won't happen, but guess what? It did happen when the ABA merged with the NBA. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and by Plantation Palms Golf Club. Thank you for listening. My email is wright.todd@yahoo.com. We'll talk to you next time.